So we carry on the Chaitanya Charitamrita and its sixth chapter, Madhya Leela, 133 to 135. And here is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starting to speak after hearing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for a long time. So, translation. Although there is other evidence, the evidence given in the Vedic version must be taken as a foremost. Vedic version understood directly are first-class evidence. So, yes. Purport. Works that should be consulted are Srila Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha 10.11, Srila Baladevida Bhushana's commentary on that, and the following verses of the Brahma Sutra Shastra Yoni Tvat, verse 1.1.3, Tarka Pratisthanat, verse 2.1.11, and Shruteshu 2, Sabda Mulatvat, verse 2.1.27, as commented upon by Sri Ramanujacharya, Sri Madhavacharya, Sri Nimbarkacharya, and Srila Baladevida Bhushan. In his book Sarva Samvadini, Srila Jiva Goswami has noted that although there are 10 kinds of evidence, direct perception, the Vedic version, historical references, hypotheses, and so on, and although they are all generally accepted as evidence, the person presenting a hypothesis, reading the Vedic version, perceiving or interpreting by his experience, is certain to be imperfect in four ways. That is, he is subject to committing mistakes, to becoming illusioned, to cheating, and to having imperfect senses. Although the evidence may be correct, the person himself is in danger of being misled due to his material defects. Apart from the direct presentation, there is a chance that an interpretation may not be perfect. Therefore, the conclusion is that only a direct presentation can be considered evidence. An interpretation cannot be accepted as evidence, but may be considered proof of evidence. In the Bhagavad Gita, at the very beginning, it is stated, Dhritarashtra Uvacha Dharma Chetra Kurukshetra Samaveda Yuyutsava Mama Kava Pandavaischaiva Kimakurvada Sanjaya. The statements of the Bhagavad Gita are themselves proof that there is a place of religious pilgrimage named Kurukshetra where the Pandavas and the Kurus met to fight. After meeting there, what do they do? This was Dhritarashtra's inquiry to Sanjaya. Although these statements are very clear, atheists try to interpret different meanings of the words Dharma Chetra and Kurukshetra. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has warned us not to depend on any kind of interpretation. It is better to take the verses as they are without interpretation. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukam Karuti Vachalam Pangalam Vaite Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shiguru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man can speak eloquently. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Kutale Srimati Kamala Krishna Vaswamini Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Kutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Gracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paskadati Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedadar Shivasadi Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. And my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas of Bhaktivedanta Manor and Vaishnavas who are listening online and all the Vaishnavas in the world. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Vipasindubhyaycha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. So thank you to the organizers of Bhaktivedanta Manor for inviting me to give a little bit of milk on this day from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because I'm like a cow, an old cow. Still, probably there's a few drops there of milk in me that I can give out. It's been a long time. I haven't seen anyone, even though I can't see any of you, of the devotees, of the manor. I've been missing you all. I've been missing devotees online, who I haven't seen for a long time. It's been like a year now I haven't been to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Sorry, I'm talking first about my affection, my love, and for the devotees, my separation, because that's the right thing to do. Bhaktivedanta Swami, name of Prabhupada is, first comes Bhakti and then Vedanta. We care about relationships first, and then we don't just dive into the philosophy like this. So I hope everyone is well, and I pray that you keep well. So, with your mercy, I begin to say a few words on this beautiful nectar from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada has given us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is our lakes of nectar for devotees, even though we are in isolation at the moment. We are isolationized, whatever you say. You know, there's a word, institutionalized. Now we are getting isolationized. And we take the advantage of deepen our bhakti by associate more with the Shastra, associate more with the holy name, and even though we don't have much of a sadhu sangha, but of course we have a sadhu sangha online, we can always meet. Is this beautiful technology nowadays can be used in Krishna service to see each other online. So now we talk a little bit about the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, we all know, he's a great personality. Lord Chaitanya had a great respect for him. Very advanced person. But there was a but. There is a but there. He was not a Mayavadi or a Sunyavadi. The word Mayavadi means full of Maya, full of illusion, or an enjoyer. But he was not a Sunyavadi, that he was like a Buddhist. They believe in Bodhism and he was actually a Brahmavadi. Brahmavadi means, Brahma means Brahman, spiritual, and Vadi means full, full of spiritual energy. And therefore, his concept was that the Brahmavadi concept is to actually have affection for the living entities. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They have affection for the material energy because it's also, for them, it's also spiritual. And ultimately, their God is the Brahman, impersonal Brahman, or a consciousness. God for them is just a consciousness. It's a living force, but it has no form. It has no personality. So that's, you know, he was not the only one. There was, you know, our own author of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva, he was a Brahmavadi also. He saw the Vedic literature as a Brahman, full of spiritual potency, but he didn't give, he didn't pay attention that there is a soul into the Vedas, that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the soul of the Vedas. Why is the soul? Because the soul is a personality. So the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, is to be known in the Vedas, is the goal of the Vedas. Vedas cha sarve raham eva vedyo, Vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. Chaham, Krishna says, I am to be known. I am the goal of the Vedas. I am the creator of the Vedas. So therefore, Vyasadeva missed out. Not just Vyasadeva, Sugadeva Goswami, his own son, Sugadeva Goswami, the parrot, is originally an associate of Srimati Radharani, but he took birth in this world as a Brahmavadi. He also was a Brahmavadi. The four Kumaras, they were Brahmavadi until they smelled the incense or the torsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord, and then they became personalists. Now you have the Kumara Sampradaya. So many, you can name so many Brahmavadi. Brahmavadi, it's not a small thing. If you are Brahmavadi, you are actually a very advanced personality. It means you are almost there, but you are not there yet. Because the concept here of Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was that he gave eloquently an explanation of the Vedas, but like Mahaprabhu, when he started to talk, Mahaprabhu, after listening to him for a long time, he told him, he said, there's nothing, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was asking Mahaprabhu, you keeping quiet? Do you have any questions? Do you disagree on anything I said? Did I say anything wrong? So Mahaprabhu, he told him, since you have inquired what is my concern, you have correctly spoken about the Vedas, but there was an interpretation there. And the purport of today is all about that. You have interpreted the meaning of the Vedas. Nothing wrong with the Vedas, but there is something wrong the way you perceived it, the way you interpret the Vedas. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he gives, you know, because apurusheya, a human being is confined to these imperfect senses, therefore he makes mistakes, he has a tendency to cheat, to be an illusion. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he made a mistake. So the idea, Mahaprabhu helped him to understand by correcting him, said, you know, you believe that the ultimate cause is the Brahman. That's correct. But still, there is a cause within that cause. The Brahman, it has to be addressed as the supreme Brahman. If there is a Brahman, there must be, if there is a consciousness, there must be the soul in it. Because consciousness is from an individual living force. Just like, you know, when a dead man, someone dies, the soul leaves the body. So the individuality of that person has left the body. So therefore there is no more consciousness. The consciousness is the proof of the soul. So similarly, the Brahman, the Brahmajyoti, the Brahman also has, it's a consciousness, but it has a soul, and that's the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later on, Mahaprabhu, he will explain, Srila Prabhupada also, he will give some nice purports about this truth. Of the Brahman, just like the proof that there is a soul into the Brahman, that it is actually, there is a personality within the Brahman, it's called ablative case. There are three cases in our understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the spiritual aspect of the Lord: ablative, instrumental, and locative. So those are called ablative case, instrumental case, and locative case. One is ablative, is the dormant individual which is situated into the consciousness. You may not see it. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya perceived the consciousness, the Brahman, the impersonal aspect of the Lord, but without detecting that there is an ultimate individual behind this consciousness. So ablative case means unmanifested individual, personality of Godhead, and means that after the devastation, everything, all the living entities, the cosmic manifestation, enter into this Brahman, the consciousness of the Lord, and it's actually there, and then is manifested again. That's called the ablative case. And it comes, and then the instrumental case, the second function of this personality of Godhead, is that maintains the individuals, the living entities, and the cosmic manifestation. Just like Srila Prabhupada in the Gita, he says Krishna is in everything. Is everywhere, in everything, and outside of everything. Krishna himself says, you know, I'm in everything, in everyone, in every little atom, in every particle. So therefore, everything is Brahman. So Sarvabhauma, in one sense, he was right to understand that everything is spiritual, including, because Brahmavadi, they have affection for living entities, and the material energy, because they see everything as a spiritual consciousness, full of, Brahmavadi means full of spirit. In fact, this material world also, it's a spiritual. Because if you separate every atom, every particle, then Krishna is in it as the instrumental case. He maintains. So therefore, wherever there is a Krishna, wherever that you find a little particle, there must be the Lord inside to maintain that particle. So that's the instrumental case. And then the locative case is the that the Lord not just maintain everyone and everything, but he also enters as the localized super soul, the Paramatma. Like locative case means localized Paramatma, which is also a personality. So wherever you go spiritually, there must be, spiritual means living force, and there must be a personality. Everything that moves it's been activated by a person, a machine. If you want to move a car, you have to have the driver to move it. If you want to move a machine, a factory to make cookies or whatever, you have to have a person to bake, to do things. So there is a person behind it. So the Brahmavadi, sometimes they reach this very high platform, Aham Brahmasmi, which is a great realization that I am a spiritual. Yes, but that's the very first understanding of spiritual life. Then we have to go beyond that, beyond my personality, my individuality. There must be a permanent cause, that a permanent person behind everything. Maya Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. The hand of the Lord, the personality of Godhead, it's actually behind everything. Everything, spiritual and material. He makes everything moving. Murti Martana Suyave. Every form in this world, and every, even in the spiritual world, it's multi-mat, it's full of consciousness. Multi means form, mat means consciousness, and it's a full of, there is no envy. In every form that you find created by the Lord, it's pure, and it has a personality. And it's not destructive, it's not impersonal, but it's personal. So this was the misunderstanding or the mistake of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then when the Lord, he made him understand very nicely and very clearly, later on you will see here, the Lord is spoon-feeding him slowly, slowly the personal concept of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's interesting because one of my questions has always been when I read this pastime, once I asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, my spiritual master, if Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an impersonalist, my Brahmavadi, how come he was in charge of a temple with a murti, Lord Jagannath? He was the priest of that temple. He was in charge. Surely you must see that there is, you know, to worship that murti, you are worshipping a personality. But actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying that, yes, but they see God as consciousness. They don't see him as a person. They didn't worship him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't worship the Lord as a person, but as a consciousness. So this was, that's why the Lord went to Orissa. This was the concept of the people, also of the followers of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of course, except Gopinathacharya, his son-in-law. He was a devotee. He was less knowledgeable than Sarvabhauma. He was subordinate to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in knowledge of the Vedas, but he was more advanced than Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in understanding, in bhakti, understanding that the Lord as a form, is a person. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was like a very important person. And that's what happened when you, when you're blind, you know, you can't see anything. Like, you know, Mayavadi, Shunyavadi, those are blind people. They can't see anything. They can't see the spiritual at all, not even the consciousness of the Lord. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he didn't see the Lord as a person, but he could see the consciousness. So therefore, it was like considered to be like one eye. You know, there is a say in Italian, maybe in English as well, that the one-eyed man is a king in a land. He becomes a king in the land of a blind people. So he had one eye, one spiritual eye that could see the consciousness, but that's all. But to have two eyes means you see the consciousness and the personality behind the consciousness. So Gopinathacharya was a full visioner. He could understand who was Lord Chaitanya. He could understand who was Lord Jagannath. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he educated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But was so humble, the Lord, even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Apurusheya, the Absolute Truth, still he had so much respect for Sarvabhauma. And he said, please understand this, but still considered him like a spiritual master in one sense. It's not that you know, he said, you are a fool, and I am you, now I am your guru because I know more than you. So it's humility is it's a very fine commodity to have in our consciousness. And that is, with humility, we can understand the absolute truth. We can understand the eternal, this permanent truth, which is that the Lord is always a person, was always a person, he will always be a person, and it's not just a consciousness. Like Khandadi Prabhu is writing a nice book now. We've been having some meetings about his book. He's been asked by the BBT to write something about consciousness. It's important to understand, you know, it's the very first understanding of spiritual life. If you want to understand the Vedas, aham brahmasmi, that I am made out of spirit. So he's writing a book to invite people to understand who they are, so that it will be an introduction before we dive into the Shastra, into the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the other books. So this would be like a mass distribution book, which I think it's a very good thing, that people, even if they don't believe in God, you know, at least they can start to understand, you know, that a consciousness is a living force. a consciousness. It's a springboard to that leads us to understand that there is an individual behind this consciousness. And the book of Akandari will be like that. You know, we make people understand that we are, you know, we are spiritual creatures. So, yes, he was very, very, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very knowledgeable of the Vedas, but because of his missing link, he was not presenting the Vedas as they are. It's like, you know, you, like Vyasadeva, when he wrote the Vedas, everything was perfect, but, you know, when you don't include the soul into the body of the Vedas, then the Vedas, they're not alive. They still become a dead body. They still, it's like a cul-de-sac road. You maybe become very knowledgeable, but you go in a cul-de-sac, it will not lead you anywhere. You can't go left, right, because there is no freedom there. It's like a prison. So anything that leads you to the spiritual liberation, to understand that we have a relationship with a personality beyond the knowledge, beyond the Vedas. It was like Krishna says, Vedas cha sarve ram, I'm to be understood. You know, there are so many jnanis, they surrender themselves to knowledge, but what is the verse? Bhavanam jamanam ante jamanam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti. Samahatma sudurlava. Only after bhavanam jamanam, bahu means many, many, many births. Jamanam ante, only after many births, taking birth in this world again and again and again, for all these academic people, jnanis, and only after so many births one comes to understand that Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of all causes. Samahat, and that person becomes a Mahatma. And even though there are few of those, they're very rare. Those jnanis are very, very rare, those who understand that Krishna is behind the Vedas, behind the consciousness of the Brahman, behind the yogis, the tapasya. You know, the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to make us understand. There is a verse, Vasudeva Param Tapa, Vasudeva Param Jnana, Vasudeva Param Yoga, Vasudeva Param Yagya, Vasudeva Param Gati. The purpose, the goal of tapasya is to realize Vasudeva. The goal of the yogis is to achieve Vasudeva. The goal of sacrifices, the goal of the jnanas, the jnanis, scholars is to understand the Vasudeva. And the last one, Vasudeva Param Gati. Gati means liberation. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he thought he was getting a liberation just by becoming a Brahmavadi, but actually, you are still in prison. We know that just by being absorbed into the consciousness of the Lord, Brahma Jyoti, for example, without understanding that he's a person, there is a chance to fall down again. Yogis and sannyasis, they do, impersonalists, Brahmavadis, they do achieve that destination, but then they fall down again. They cannot go through. They cannot achieve the liberation into the supreme individual. So Krishna is to be remained sacred, secret behind that consciousness. That's why, you know, and reading the Vedas, without accepting that the Lord is a person, then whatever understanding we have of the Vedas, we are subject to interpretation. Then when we preach the Vedas, then it can come out distorted, polluted, apurusheya. Why? Because we have the senses, Rishikesha, Rishikenam, Sevanam, Bhakti, Ruchate. They can only be purified if we accept bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. Otherwise, the senses, they remain dirty. Atahashi Krishna Namadi, Griyam Nabhaved, what is it? Atahashi Krishna Namadi, Nabhaved Griyam Indriyani. The senses, when they're not engaged with this individual person serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if we engage them into the impersonal aspect of the Lord, still they remain dirty. Like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had the dirty senses. And that's why he was making mistakes. And when you have a dirty senses, then you are subject, like Prabhupada says here, to commit mistakes, to be an illusion, to cheat people. If I was giving this class with the concept that there is no God, then I will be cheating all of you online. That will be probably the last class that the manor will ask me to give. Because the secret of all the understanding is to accept, even if I don't have, I don't have much knowledge, but I'm trying with all my heart and with all my soul to understand, to accept that there is a personality of Godhead, which is the cause of all causes, is that person that maintains me, and keeps my heart beating, and gives me breath to breathe, makes moving my body, gives me the ability to speak. Krishna says in the Gita, I am the ability man. He's the cause of everything. The cause, we say that the body is maintained by 33 million demigods. All the senses, they are regulated by him, empowered by him. Yeah, but who is maintaining all those demigods? That's Krishna. So therefore, he's the original personality who has created everything out of love. That's why we are subject of love for the Lord, and he has, and we are deprived from, in our constitutional, original state, we are murtimata nasuyavi. We are without envy. Nothing which is being created by the Lord, it's an envious subject or object. But it's a creation of love. Because otherwise the Lord will be an evil person. If he creates something which is useless, then he must be a stupid God. So therefore everything he creates must be useful. What is useless? It's our illusion. When we misuse ability of freedom, or the free will, in contact, we try to enjoy this material energy in an impersonal way, without understanding that it's been created by the Lord for his pleasure. And then when we serve him, we also derive pleasure in contact with this energy, because material energy doesn't mind to be used by us if it's been put in the service of the Lord. Then we can enjoy, you know, you cook a nice, beautiful meal, you offer to the Lord, then you take remnants, prasad, afterward, you enjoy it. You see, the sun, when you see the sun, you not imagine, but you see the eyes of the Lord, and the sun warms you up. It's there to serve us, to serve the living entities. And this energy is so merciful, even though we don't recognize that belongs to Krishna, she still gives us grains, water, fruits, heat, air to breathe. You could see that it's very merciful energy, and that is the instrumental case of the Lord. When he creates this energy, he maintains it for our service, and to maintain, to provide service to the living entities. So we have to just be a little bit more thoughtful. Who am I? Where I come from? What is the purpose of life? What is this material world? Where do I go after I die? Why people are suffering? These are all the questions that an intelligent person like Sanatana Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, he did the same thing. At least he had the decency and humility of saying, you kept quiet for so long listening to me. So please, do you agree? You disagree? Did I say anything wrong? So he asked, he inquired from the Lord, what did he do wrong? Why the Lord was keeping quiet? So when we are inquiring with a little bit of humility, then the Lord delivers the truth. Then the correction comes. And that's why we have the association of devotees, the spiritual master, the Shastra, that every time we ask a question sincerely, why am I suffering? You open the book tells you why you're suffering. Then you ask the Vaishnav, they can also help you, and the spiritual master, and the Lord in the heart, the ultimate personality, in the ultimate individual. So the essence of this purport is to always understand that the Brahmajyoti, the Brahman aspect of the Lord, it's not the ultimate cause of our destination, but it's there is something beyond that, which is Lord Krishna. Thank you very much, and I will stop the class here, and we have 4 minutes, 5 minutes. It's 8:25 on my computer, and we ask if there is any questions.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. It was a beautiful class. You have a very soothing way of giving us this philosophy. It's very pleasurable to listen to you. I really like this point about the different analogies you gave, and especially the one with the body of the Vedas without the soul is just like a dead body. Makes it so visually. I like that a lot. Maybe I can start with one question I had about the three cases that you spoke about. Was very new to me, never heard that, so interesting analogy. So is it directly connected to the three aspects of God or not necessarily? Because you spoke that locative is a paramatma, but you didn't say something about ablative and instrumental. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that.
Yes, these cases, they're actually there in the same Mahaprabhu is talking to Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, make him understand. 1 second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 1 second. It's somewhere in the next few verses. Oh, sorry, 1 second. I've got the 30. I just want to read it to you, at least, you know, I make no mistakes. Because Srila Prabhupada quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah, the personal features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this Mahaprabhu speaking to Sarvabhauma, are categorized in three cases, namely ablative, instrumental, and locative. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states in his Amrita Prabhava Bhasya that according to the injunction of the Upanishads, the Supreme Absolute Truth is He from whom everything emanates. It is understood that the whole cosmic manifestation emanates from Brahman, see, the Supreme Absolute Truth. The creation subsists by the energy of the Supreme Brahman, and after annihilation merges into the Supreme Brahman. So you understand so far the function, the living entity manifested, then after the annihilation they'll go back into the Supreme Brahman, the consciousness of the Lord. And from this we can understand that the Absolute Truth can be categorized in three cases, ablative, instrumental, and locative. According to these three cases, the Absolute Truth is positively personified, it always maintains, you know, the personality. Whether it's even at the Brahmajyoti, within the Brahmajyoti there is a personality of Godhead. It's like, you know, within our consciousness, my consciousness, there must be a soul. You can't separate the two. Positively personified. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes Atma Vaidyam. Anyway, this is some verses. This was the answer given by Father Varuna when questioned by son Varuni, Bhrigu, about the Absolute Truth. In this mantra, the word Yata, the Absolute Truth, from which the cosmic manifestation has emanated in the ablative case, that Brahman, by which this universal creation is maintained, is in the instrumental case, you see, maintained, all the cosmic manifestation and the living entity. So the Lord, like, you know, the word Vishvambar, the meaning of my name, it's that the Lord, He maintains all the universes and all the living entities. And that Brahman, into which the old cosmic manifestation merges in the locative case, Yat O Yasmin. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Idam Hi Vishvam Bhagavan Nivetaro. The entire universal creation is contained in the gigantic form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything emanates from Him, everything rests in His energy, and after annihilation, everything merges into His person. It doesn't say into His just consciousness, into His person. He still remains person. So the first one, ablative case, is when everything, you know, is in all the living entities and the material energy, they are in the Brahmajyoti, but it's still, they are resting in the personal aspect of the Lord. The Brahmajyoti is also, within there is a personality of Godhead. And then the living entity, they are manifested again. That's the ablative case. And then instrumental, the Lord, again, then He sustains everyone, maintain everyone. And then only that, then the locative case, He enters in everything and in everyone as the, you know, localized, that's why locative case, localized Paramatma. But even the Paramatma is also a personality. So in other words, the impersonal aspect of the Lord, the Paramatma and Bhagavan, they're in one sense, they are similar. Still, the Lord preserves his personality in those three aspects, even in the impersonal Brahman. The Lord, it's there as a person. But the Brahmavadi, they can't see it. They just see a spiritual, you know, consciousness. So is that okay, Prabhu? Anyway,
yes, Prabhu.
You can comfortably today. I think it's the... anyway, you're coming to it. The next speakers... It's verse 144.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then devotees, they can understand a little bit more. Any other questions?
Fascinating, Prabhu. Thank you. So lucidly explained. So far, I don't see any other questions. If there is, maybe someone would like to put it themselves here on Zoom.
Okay, means everyone, either they're all asleep.
I think they all already got enlightened by your talk so much.
They agree.
Anyway. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
It's not a question, but it's a wonderful class. You know, I'm just listening and I'm just thinking about it, you know. Excellent. Well done. Well done, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
Chandra? Vrindavan? Are you Vrindavan Chandra?
No, Prabhuji. My name is Prabhuta.
Prabhuta.
And I'm very new to Krishna conscious, but I'm really enjoying. Thank you very much. A wonderful class. Thank you.
You are welcome. It's my service, my pleasure. Thank you to all of you for having me today. Anyway, so I think we'll close here. And I just want to give my salutations to all the devotees of Bhaktivedanta Manor. I want you to know I've been missing all of you. You are always in my heart, everybody, all those devotees from the manor and from outside. You know, my only sadhana was coming to the temple to hear classes in the morning, and I've been missing that. Hopefully Krishna will put us together once again. Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, and you keep well, everyone. Thank you so much.